Today on Brave, a lesson with Jeff Schwarzentraub.
Friends, you're not going to be blessed until Jesus Christ returns and sets up an eternal kingdom where there is no sin. In this life, you will have tribulation. It's part of what God's growing in you. Embrace it patiently. Watch what every single prophet, there's always trial, there's always temptation, there's always difficulty, but if you have the Lord, you can endure through all of it. That's the good news of the gospel. Amen.
Welcome to Brave, the Bible teaching ministry of Jeff Schwarzentraub, founder and lead pastor of Brave Church in Denver, Colorado. Life can be difficult, and sometimes as Christians, our trials, temptations, and suffering seem unending. But according to the Word of God, the pains and hardships of this life will come to an end, and our Savior, Jesus Christ, will return. Today on Brave, Pastor Jeff has an urgent message about how we're meant to be living today in the light of Christ's imminent return. We're in a series in the book of James called Walk Your Talk. And just a reminder, you can catch up on messages you may have missed at our website, bravemedia.online. Now, here's Pastor Jeff with today's message, Checklist for Christ Coming.
There's ways that God wants us to live until he gets here that is so important. And really what is happening in the book of James in this section we're going to look at this morning is him telling us what a checklist for Christ's coming looks like. And I want to highlight five truths that God tells us this morning in case you want to know, how should I be living until Jesus gets here? And to do that this morning, we're going to be in James chapter 5, starting in verse 7 and going through verse 12. And the first is this: until Christ comes, endure difficulties patiently. Number two is this: until Christ comes, strengthen yourself in the Lord. Notice what he says in verse 8. You too, just like the farmer was patient, you too be patient. Strengthen your hearts. Why? For the coming of the Lord is near. Make Jesus Christ a priority in your life. Because when you're going through difficulty, it's too late to start strengthening yourself in the Lord. When trial or tragedy hits, it's too late to say, I should probably start praying right now. No, you should have been doing that all along so that you were ready to endure the trial that was coming. Let the Lord be the priority of your life. Strengthen yourself in him. Tell him what you need from him. Tell him, I'm not so great at this. Tell him, I need you to bring other people around me that can help me grow in this. Lord, I need you. I want to be strong in you. And then make decisions to let the Lord be the Lord of your life. Until Christ comes, endure difficulties patiently, strengthen yourself in the Lord. Do this, number three, refrain from complaining. Until Christ comes, refrain from complaining. Here's what he says: do not complain, brethren, do not complain, brothers, don't complain, sisters, against one another, so that you yourselves may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing right at the door. Listen, when difficulties and challenges come, when you're going through something that not everybody else has to go through and nobody else seems to understand the challenge or severity of the trial or temptation that you're under, and you're trying to strengthen yourself in the Lord and nobody else understands it, guess what you begin to do? Complain, talk, whine, criticize, blame. That's what tends to happen in our flesh. Refrain from complaining. God's calling us to live different until he comes. That's what he wants. That's what he wants. Don't complain. Don't whine. Let me give you three words that you need to check your own heart for. Three words. You can't have any of these growing in your heart. No bitterness, no hurt, no resentment. Forgiveness is huge in this. If you're going to refrain from complaining, sometimes the reason you complain is that there's unforgiveness that's brewing and it masks itself as bitterness, hurt, or resentment. Listen to the word of the Lord as the Holy Spirit penned through Paul in Ephesians chapter 4, starting in verse 29. Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification. That means building others up according to the need of the moment, so it will give grace to those who hear. So not only what you say is building to the person you're talking to, but people around you are like, man, that was really encouraging. That was building. That was edifying. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. How do you grieve the Holy Spirit? Through unforgiveness, through criticism, through gossip, through slander, you grieve the Holy Spirit. He says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you along with all malice. And then here's the command. Be kind to one another. Tender-hearted, that means I have an open heart towards you. Forgiving each other just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. So until Christ comes back, he is going to engineer and author circumstances in your life that hurt you, that wound you, that disappoint you, so that you can put the forgiveness of Christ on full display for everybody to watch. Don't criticize, don't blame, don't argue, don't whine, don't complain. Right? This is what he says. James doesn't mess around. He doesn't mess around at all. And here's what he says. Why shouldn't we do that? So we won't be judged. He said, why? Behold, because the judge is standing at the door. Where's Jesus? Oh, he's right here. He's watching it all. How can you say you love God whom you haven't seen when you can't even love your brother whom you have seen? Anyone who can't love his brother whom he has seen but says he loves God is a liar. He's right at the door. When you slander somebody, you gossip somebody, and they're not there, Jesus is right here watching. And he's coming to judge. I mean, the first time he came, he came humble. He came meek. He came mild. He came on purpose to die for the sins of the world. Next time, he's coming as the holy God in judgment. May we be ready for his coming. So then, how do you do it? I mean, it sounds really good, but it sounds kind of like a bunch of platitudes. So I love God's word. He tells us how to do it. He gives us the fourth one. He says, until Christ comes, model godly examples. Model godly examples. Follow those who have already done it this way. Notice what he says in verse 10. As an example, brethren, of suffering and patience, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. Hey, has anyone else ever suffered? Has anyone else ever been through a hard time? Am I the only one that has to endure this stuff? Hey, go back and look at the prophets. Every time they opened their mouth, God sent them on a mission to the people he loved, and they were constantly rejected, hated, tortured, and killed for doing one thing and one thing only, proclaiming the word of the Lord. Now, here's the problem. Can I just be real clear on this? We don't really preach the gospel in America. We don't preach the gospel. We preach a false gospel. The false gospel looks something like this. Hey, you're a sinner. What's that mean? Don't worry about it. It's really bad. But here's the deal. Jesus died on the cross for you, and he rose from the dead. And you can still live your same sinful lifestyle, do all the same garbage that you're doing. But if you'll name the name of the Lord, he will save you. What do I have to do? Just pray this prayer. Okay, I'll pray it. Anything else? Well, it'd be good if you got baptized too. Okay, I'll do that. What else? You're in. Great. I'm going to continue to live my same garbagey, sinful lifestyle. Praise the Lord. That's not a gospel. By the way, study any of the apostles, study any of the Old Testament prophets. Not one was killed for telling people that they would live their best life now. Not one person was killed by telling people, you're going to be totally healthy. You're going to have all the money you ever want. You'll never have any problems. Nobody kills people like that. Here's why people get killed. Because they say things like this that I'm about to say. Jesus Christ is the only God of the universe. He is the God-man. He came to this world 2,000 years ago as fully God and fully man. He's eternally existent as part of the Trinity. He put on flesh. He fulfilled the law. He satisfied the wrath of God. And here's why. Because you're a sinner. And yes, God still has a love for you. And here's how you know. Because he murdered his son because of your sin. Now, we say things like this. Hate the sin, love the sinner. And there's an element of truth to that. We are to hate sin and we are to love people. But God hates sinners. God doesn't send sin to hell. God sends sinners to hell, the ones who commit the sin. You're one of them. When you were born, you were dead. If you haven't repented, you're still dead. Jesus Christ is the only way you can ever be made alive. If you go to your grave without repenting and believing that Jesus is the Christ, you will go to hell for all eternity because you've offended an eternal, holy God. People go to hell in droves every single day, and there's some of you here that are listening to my voice that are offended because you're one of them. And if you don't repent and believe, that's where you'll go. But God in his mercy and God in his compassion is so gracious that even if you were never going to turn to him, provided a way so that you could. That in your sin, if you realize it's that great and you realize you're dying and you realize you need hope, come to Jesus. He will not turn you away. He will be the Lord of your life and he will secure your future forever and ever. Amen. That's the gospel. So here's the question. Have you ever repented and trusted Jesus? Because see, that message gets people killed in every generation. That message offends people in every generation. Do you know why? Because it makes you the problem. And people that start talking about the blessed life and never talk about sin, righteousness, and judgment, it's because they have a figment in their imagination of their own God that they've made up, who think falsely that all God cares about is the here and now and making you blessed. Friends, you're not going to be blessed until Jesus Christ returns and sets up an eternal kingdom where there is no sin. In this life, you will have tribulation. It's part of what God's growing in you. Embrace it patiently. Watch what every single prophet and apostle went through. Watch what every great saint in church history has done. There's always trial. There's always temptation. There's always difficulty. But if you have the Lord, you can endure through all of it. That's the good news of the gospel. Amen. Now, I used to think, like, you know, once you get through something, then I'm like, okay, I'm there. I mean, Romans chapter 15 and verse 4 tells us why God gave us the word and why he gave us all these examples. He says this, for whatever was written in earlier times was written for our instruction so that through perseverance and the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. Friends, the hope in this world and the only place you will ever find it is in Jesus. You won't find it anywhere else. Save yourself time. You will not find it no matter who gets elected. You will not find it no matter who's on the school board. You will not find it no matter who your teacher is. You will not find it no matter who your pastor is. You can only find it in Jesus. And he gave us examples of people that place their whole faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, we even have examples of people that tried to live it all. I mean, Solomon. I mean, how many wives did he have? How many concubines did he have? How many stupid decisions did he make? And under the power and inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he opens up the book of Ecclesiastes saying, meaningless, meaningless, everything's meaningless. If you're gonna live this life without God, it's purposeless, it's silliness, it's vanity of vanities, it's completely empty in every way. Don't live a meaningless life. And here's the reality. If you start walking with the Lord, God will take you through something and you'll think, it'll never get any harder than that. I did it. And then you'll realize you just took your first baby step of many to come. I find that the longer I walk with the Lord and the more I start living for him, the more challenge I see, the more difficulties come, the greater the step of faith has to be. Do you know every single Saturday at my house, something goes wrong? I mean, I don't know what it's going to be. I know there's going to be some tension in our family or in my marriage or with my kids or with me or something go wrong in our house or whatever. It just always happens. Except for yesterday, it didn't happen. We had a great family day yesterday. We hung out. It was great. And I'm like, this is so strange. This is just a good day. Until 8:30. And then I got a call from my wife who was at the store and the four brand new tires we just bought for her car. Guess what? One had a flat. And it's freezing cold. And you know how mechanical I am. So I'm like, well, that car's going to sit in the parking lot all night, but I'll come get you. And it's still there. And we came and got my... So I go and pick up my wife and my daughters and we're driving home only to find out that when I get home, somebody clogged the toilet. And I could not find the plunger. And as I was going to bed, I looked at my wife and I'm like, you know what? This is so perfect. I said, every single Saturday, it happens. Something, right? And that's what I have to look forward to this afternoon when I go back home. And it's not a big deal, but I'm just telling you, the more you walk with the Lord, the more you'll see these little things just interfere and get in the way. And it's all part of it. Just model and follow godly examples. Just follow godly examples. They're all over the place. There are people in our church that are living this way. There are people in the scriptures that are living this way. There are people in your family that you know that are living that way. Just follow those godly examples. And then let me give you a final one, maybe the most important. Until Christ comes, speak true and sincere words. Until Christ comes, speak true and sincere words. He just comes out and says how the Lord's full of compassion and mercy. When you go through a trial, when you're going through a difficulty, you'll see, if you're pressing into Christ, you'll see his compassion. I love you. You'll see his mercy in a special way. I love you. I know it's hard for you. I'm walking along with you. I got you. But then he says this in verse 12, but above all, my brethren, above all, brothers, above all, my sisters, do not swear either by heaven or by earth or with any other oath, but let your yes be yes. Your yes is to be yes and your no, no, so that you may not fall under judgment. Now he says, don't swear. He's not just talking about swear words and four-letter words and bad language. The Bible is complete and says, don't use those words. But that's not what he's talking about here specifically. He's talking about making an oath. He's talking about calling God as your witness down to something like, I swear to God. Or I swear on my mama's grave. Or I pinky swear. Or I cross my heart that. In other words, it's not just my word, but I'm promising you on the God of heaven that this is true because my word's not good enough by itself. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. Now, it's okay to take oaths. I mean, God allows that. Like when we get married, we take an oath because we're inviting Jesus Christ in as a witness to witness what we're doing, and we're making an oath to him that we're going to stay married till death do we part. It's okay to make an oath at ordination. Going into the ministry, Lord, I'm giving you my word that I heard your calling and I'm going to live for you until I meet you. It may be okay in the military when you're being sworn in, or definitely in a court of law when you promise to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God, right? I mean, it's okay to call God as a witness, but not in every single conversation. You know what? I'll pick you up after school. I swear to God, I will. You know what? I swear to God, this is going to happen if you keep doing what you're doing. I swear on my mama's grave, you can promise. You don't need to swear. You don't need to call God down as a witness for what you do. Just let your yes be yes. Let your no be no. Just let people know that when you say what you're going to say, you're going to do what you say you're going to do. Say what you mean and mean what you say, especially in the church. And by the way, permission, it's okay to tell people no. I heard somebody say yes. It is. It's okay to tell people no. Because here's what we do in the Christian world. We hyper-spiritualize it. Somebody asks us, would you be willing to? And they fill in the blank. And then I can't tell them no. I heard different. Let me pray about it. But oftentimes, we don't really mean to pray about it. I just need time so I know how to tell you no in a way you can understand it. Right? That's what we're really saying. So I've gotten kind of edgy these days when people say, I just need to pray about it. I'm like, tell me what you need to pray about so we can pray right now. Because I'd like to know what we're praying for so I can pray with you. Because if they really want to pray, we can do that. But most of the time, I'm not really praying. I'm just trying to figure out how to say no to you in a way that doesn't offend you. Saying no is okay. Don't overpromise and underdeliver. Hey, can you guys come over to dinner? No, can't do that. I'd love to tell you yes, but I know if I tell you that, it's going to stress out me. It's going to stress out my, it's just no right now. We're in a season where it's no. It's okay to tell people no. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. I mean, that's what it means. Christians, let your word mean something. And if you do commit to something, then follow through, even if you didn't want to do it in the first place. Because if you live this way, you'll make less promises. If you live this way, you'll say yes to a lot less. You'll say no to a lot more. You'll say the things that God actually wants you to be involved with. And it's okay to tell people, hey, love you. I'm not able to do that. I don't want to overpromise and underdeliver, but I'm happy that that's something that you're going to do. What's wrong with that? Right? Let your yes be yes. Let your no be no. Don't call down, you know, God's going to do this and all this kind of stuff. I cross my heart. I swear to God. I promise you. I swear on my mama's grave. I mean, you don't need to do that. Just as a Christian, your word should mean something. I told you yes, I will be there. I told you no, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that. I told you exactly what it is. And it's okay to pray about it. Don't get me wrong. I think it's okay to seek the Lord and ask the Lord, what do you want me to do? As long as that's not like a cop-out. If you're genuinely going to pray, I'm going to pray with my wife. We're going to decide together what we're going to do. But I'll get back to you by this time, then get back to them by this time, and then tell them what God told you. That's okay. We got too many Christians making too many false promises. We got too many Christians say, oh yeah, count me in. Oh, I couldn't make it. That's sinful. Until Christ comes back, let your words mean something. Let them be true and sincere, right? Let them be true and sincere. And why is that important? Because when you're going through a time of crisis and you're going through trouble, it's easier to just be flippant with your words. Okay, fine, that's fine. I'm going through a crisis right now. I don't know that I'm going to be able to do that. I can't answer that authoritatively right now. I need to wait to answer you, or I'm going to tell you no right now. That's okay. And this is what God wants us to do until he gets here. Did you hear anything about the rapture? Did you hear anything about buying a white robe and moving to the mountains? Because it's not there. That's not what Jesus wants to find you doing when he gets back. He wants to find you in enduring the difficulties he brought into your life with great patience. He wants to see you strengthening yourself in him. He wants to see that you're refraining from complaining. He wants to see that you're following the other godly examples and that you are using true and sincere words. And if you'll do that, you'll be ready for his coming. Now, I can't tell you when you're going to meet Jesus, but when you do, you won't arrive one moment too soon or be there one moment too late. When tragedy happens on this side of heaven and we lose somebody, it's tragic to us. It's shocking to us. It's just the way the Lord planned it out to him. Nobody gets to heaven. Nobody stands before Jesus where he says, "What are you doing here right now? Or how come it took you so long? I mean, you're right on time." So I can't tell you the time that you're going to meet him. I can't tell you he's, you know, for sure coming back in our lifetime. I can't tell you for sure that he's not. I don't know. What I can tell you for sure is that you will see him face to face. And if you put these five things into practice, here's what you're going to hear. "Well done, good and faithful servant. Good job. Welcome into my kingdom." And when you hear these five for the checklist, it doesn't mean go out and practice all five. It means submit yourself to the Lord so he can work those things through you. Maybe there's one specific one today that he showed you. This is you. This is what I wanted to show you. And it's the Lord's love in you to tell you, "This is where I want to start working in your life. Will you let me in? Will you let me do this?" Because if you'll build your life on Jesus, it'll be well with your soul. He'll be your cornerstone. He'll be your rock. He'll be your firm foundation. And that's how he wants you to live until he arrives. Amen? Amen. Would you stand with me? Our Father in heaven, we give you all the glory, honor, and praise for who you are. And Lord, we just want you to know we love you. If you're here today and you heard the gospel of Jesus Christ and you recognize you're a sinner and you've never repented of your sin, you've never turned your life over to Christ, and you want to make that moment now, you can tell Jesus that's what you want. Say, "Lord, I repent of my sins. I want to turn from my sin. I want to turn to you. I want to place my faith in you. Come into my life as my Savior and Lord and take over. Save me, Lord." And he will. And he will indwell you with the power of his Holy Spirit and the presence of his Holy Spirit. And if you've repented and believed, the indwelling presence and power of the Holy Spirit and purity of the Holy Spirit indwell you. What's the Lord showed you today? Where's the next step of faith you need to take? What do you need to put into practice? Will you write it down? Will you go do what he showed you to do? If you do, it'll be well with your soul. If you do, Jesus will become even a more firm foundation than he already is. God, we give you glory, we give you honor, we give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
You're listening to Brave, the Bible teaching ministry of Jeff Schwarzentraub, founder and lead pastor of Brave Church in Denver, Colorado. Today, we're concluding a message titled "Checklist for Christ's Coming" from our study in the book of James called "Walk Your Talk." And if you'd like to go back and listen to any of Pastor Jeff's previous messages, they're at our website, bravemedia.online. And before we wrap up today, just want to say how much we appreciate hearing from listeners like you. If you've been listening to Brave for some time, but you've never reached out, why don't you do that today? Connecting with us is also a great way to show your support for Brave. When you give a financial gift, you help keep Brave on the air in your local community, and your generous support ensures this radio ministry continues to bring the truth of God's Word to you and new listeners all over the country. Don't hesitate. Reach out today. Head to bravemedia.online and click the Donate tab to give, or call us at 360-552-7283. That's 360-552-7283. You can also send a check in the mail right to us at Brave Church, 3651 South Colorado Boulevard, Englewood, Colorado, 80113. Again, that's Brave Church, 3651 South Colorado Boulevard, Englewood, Colorado, 80113. And if you're in the Denver metro area looking for a church to call home, we invite you to visit us for weekend services here at Brave Church. Join us for worship and a brand new sermon from Pastor Jeff. You can visit any of our three Brave Church campuses in Englewood, Westminster, and Colorado Springs, or join us through our live stream. For details, head to bravemedia.online and click on the Brave Church link at the bottom of our homepage. And if you'd like to connect with Pastor Jeff to share a story or encouraging comment, maybe a question, you can email us, hello@bravechurch.co. I'm your host, Bill Carl. So glad you've joined us today. We'll see you next time for more bold Bible teaching right here on Brave with Jeff Swarzentraw. Today's program was produced and furnished by Brave Church in Denver, Colorado.